So the second gathering, the first Christian fellowship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can lift up your word and make it first and foremost. And so, Father, we ask that you would just reveal your word to us. Reveal that truth to us, Father, and set us free. Set us free in the gospel of Christ. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Peter had just preached the first sermon at Pentecost, and about 3,000 were saved and began to fellowship together. Now, that's a fast church start, and it had to be chaotic. That was 3,000. We're not near that, but I want you to know there's just as much chaos because this is new. It was new to them, and it's new to us. So we fall on God's word for our direction. We fall on God's truth to give us the direction that we're going to go. So turn to Acts 2, verses 42 through 47. And let me read those verses to you. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now, I want to ask you this question. What kind of hopes and what kind of dreams do you have for this new work? What kind of hopes and what kind of dreams do you have for this new work that we've begun? Fellowship Community Church. Where is God going to move you? How is God going to move you? And you think about this. What a blessing it has been already that God has laid out this perfect timing for starting not only this work, but in God's word, God laid out the perfect timing for starting the church in Acts 2. So let's see what the early church was like and how they cared for one another and how they became a strong witness in the community. So question number one on your outline, what was Pentecost and how was God's timing perfect in starting the early church? Now, I want you to know this, okay? We have also seen God's perfect timing in starting this great work. God's perfect timing never stops. But we're going to look at that perfect timing of the start of the church at Pentecost. Now, Pentecost was 50 days after Passover, okay? And this is key because this was a time of another offering of first fruits. It was another harvest time. Now, it was symbolic. And listen real carefully. It was symbolic of believers receiving the first fruits of their inheritance, which was the Holy Spirit. Okay, here are the believers. And Pentecost was the first fruits of the harvest. But Pentecost is symbolic of the believers receiving the first fruits of your inheritance, and that is the Holy Spirit. When you receive the Holy Spirit as at salvation, it is the first fruits of your inheritance. These believers were also the first fruits of the full harvest of believers to come. You know what that means? That means that we are part of that same harvest. But those believers at Pentecost were the first fruits of the full harvest that continues today. Do you see God's timing in that? God's perfect timing. This is exactly when God's blessing had to come. During this time of Pentecost, during this time of first fruits. Number two, in verse 42, we see five key elements of spiritual duty that are important for our new work here. So the first one is this. They, 3,000 new believers, were continually devoting themselves. Now here's what it says. They are saved. 3,000 new believers. How many of you know that the church is only made up of believers? The church is not made up of believers and non-believers. The church is made up of believers. And though non-believers come, why do they come? To hear the gospel of Christ. And when they come to Christ, and when they come and recognize Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they come into the body of believers, they come into the church. All right? So that first thing is that it is a saved church. Number two, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. It was a church that carefully taught the scriptures. The Word of God is food for the believer, okay? The Word of God is what we are to consume, and it gives us great power and strength, and it allows us to grow. You are powerless without the Word of God behind you. Now, the church cannot function on godly principles that they have not been taught and have not learned. You have to be taught the godly principles, and you have to learn them, because otherwise you will not function as a body of believers. Number three, and they were devoted to fellowship. They enjoyed close fellowship. Know this, it was disobedient to isolate yourselves from the body of Christ. It was disobedient. We come and we gather together, okay? Four, they were devoted to the breaking of bread. Now, this in particular in the church is, this is a Christ-centered church, and this action of breaking of bread is in remembrance of the work that Christ did on the cross, okay? But also, they ate house to house. They shared in fellowship. They shared in food together. Here's what you have to know. Do you remember when Hurricane Isabel hit, what, 7 years ago? Do you remember how everybody's freezers, nobody had power for 7 days? In our neighborhood, you know what was started? We started calling each other and we're going, okay, what are you cooking? Everybody was cooking, trying to get rid of their food as fast as possible. And you came together as a community, or you had family members and you came together and you just started cooking because it was all going bad. But in this day, they all ate together, house to house. They fellowshiped together. Okay? And then number five, they were devoted to prayer. It was a praying church. The first fellowship was devoted to the duty of prayer. They saw it as a duty. In John 14, 13 and 14, write that reference. John 14, 13 and 14, it says, "Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." They saw prayer as a duty. Prayer meetings have all but disappeared in churches today. But that goes along with the fact that teaching the Word of God is disappearing in churches today. Number three, in verses 33 through 47, what did it mean that fear came upon every soul? So let me read 43 through 47. "Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and all had things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Now, what it means to this fear that came upon them, it means that there was a spiritual sense of awe. There was a spiritual sense of respect, okay? They weren't afraid, They knew this was God. And there was this sense of respect and awe, and it came upon every single one of them. Now, this leads into the spiritual character of the believers in this church. So, number one there, this church was a miraculous church. A miraculous church. You saw that there were many signs and wonders were taking place through the apostles. Number two, this was a sharing church. All of those who had believed were gathered together, and they had all things in common, is what you see in the scripture. And they were selling their property and their possessions, and they were sharing them with everybody. And day to day, they were of one mind in the temple, breaking bread and going house to house and sharing with each other. Number three, it was a joyful church. Now, with gladness of heart, it says they were praising God. Now, I want you to know something. That was us last week. It's actually us this week, too. I don't know if some of you have seen the website, but if you go to the website, there was a sister in Christ that took pictures of our gathering last week. I want you to know how many smiles there are. There is so much joy in gathering together, and you can see it in these pictures. That joy must remain, and that joy is only going to remain if you focus on praising God. Number five, four. There you go. They were a church that was attractive to the community. And you see there in Scripture, and having favor with all the people. And here's what I want you to know is that even in a small room like this, they keep coming. We're attractive to the community, okay? The community knows what's happening here, and they keep coming. So we have to get a bigger place. And then number five, they were a growing church because the Lord was adding to their number each day. And each day, more were being saved. And it goes in direct connection with the fact that they were praising and they were teaching the Word of God. Now, the story continues in chapters 3 and 4. And then it moves into the healing of the lame man and Peter and John being persecuted by the Sanhedrin. That was last week's message. And upon their return to the church family, they all rejoiced and they prayed for boldness. And then that place that they were assembled was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And everyone could share Christ with that boldness. So we move to Acts chapter 4, verse 31 through 37. So turn to Acts chapter 4, 31 through 37. And it says this. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that of the things that he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of those things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite from the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. All right, so what you see first of all here is just two chapters later, the church has grown so much that they no longer count them. And this was a direct result of the boldness of the Holy Spirit in them that allowed them to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, question number four, how is the early church described in verse 31? So how are they described? What are they? They're filled with the Holy Spirit. What are they also doing? They spoke the word of God, and they're all praying, okay? And when they're speaking the word of God, they're speaking it with boldness. Now, that's the description of this early church. They're all praying. They're all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. You compare that to how churches are described today. Churches are described today by this. Wow, they have great music. Oh, they have great, wonderful programs. Oh, have you seen that beautiful building? That's how churches are being described today. We are missing the foundation of what our church is to be about, according to Scripture, and that is a foundation of God's Word. Verse 32 says this, Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Now also, John 13:35, you can put that down, says this, By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, I want you to ask yourself this question. How often do you think of the personal well-being of other believers? How often do you think of the personal well-being of other believers? Do you find yourself caught up in trivial personal matters? Okay? Now, know this. This early church, their focus was ministering on each other and ministering to each other's needs. They were not thinking of themselves. They were all focused beyond themselves. They were trying to reach the lost with the gospel of Christ. Now, that kind of heart left them little time to focus on trivial matters in their own lives. So, ask yourself this. Are you having marriage problems? Are you having problems with your child or your youth? Are you having problems with your family or friends or with your job? Are you focused on winning an argument or coming out better than the other guys? If you and your families would dive in and truly serve God, you would find that you would have less time to pick at each other. You would have less time outside of the will of God. And you know, I want you to know, some of the people that I know that have had the hardest times, death in the family, terrible sickness, what helps them get through that the most is when they're serving someone else. It takes the focus off of themselves. And they are healed because they're more focused with God's will. Have you ever met somebody that's going through a hard time, maybe health-wise, and they pray for you? And you're like, but I was supposed to pray for you. Okay? You know what? That's what allows them to heal, because they're focusing on God's will. They're focusing on their love for others outside of themselves. Number 5, what gave the apostles their great power in verse 33? Well, what gave them that great power was the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, know this. The Holy Spirit is God's power coming inside them. Okay? That's what gave them their great power. Number 6, what does it mean that they were giving witness to the resurrection? Now, giving here is written as a continual. This is ongoing, okay? What were they giving? They were giving witness to the resurrection. Now remember, in last week's message, this was what the Sanhedrin had forbid them to do. And yet, they continue on with that witness of the resurrection. When you see Christ at work, you can't help but share that. Now, that's happened here. Miss Sherry is here. Miss Sherry, Miss Delane, and so many others. This week, I have heard stories of them telling everyone about this new work. Why? Because when it comes from the power of the Holy Spirit, it is a power that you cannot contain, and you want to share the gospel of Christ and where that gospel of Christ is going to be shared. And you see it go out, giving witness to the community. Number 7, what was the result and what is the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit in verse 33? God's grace came upon them all. God's grace came upon them all. And know this, grace is God's favor. Grace is God's favor. Now hear this very carefully. A fellowship. That's us. A fellowship is characterized by loving unity and a willingness to share Christ, and you receive God's blessings. A fellowship characterized by loving unity and a willingness to share Christ receives God's blessings. It's that unity and the sharing that opens up God's blessings to you. Number 8, in verse 32 through 35, it describes the believers as a church that shared with one another. Describe the results that came from this practice and how it can be applied today. All right, so first, you find in verse 32 that they understood that everything belonged to God. Everything belonged to God. When you understand that it's God's, then you start to understand that what you have is a divine resource. It's not yours. It's His. And it's divine because He's provided for you. And He's provided it. And at that point, you feel obligated to use His resources to meet the needs of others. Okay? In James 2, 15 through 16, it says, if a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? If they come to you and they have a need, and you say, wow, you know what? Praise God, I'll pray for you. What good is that? The need was revealed to you. Even more strongly, John says in 1 John 3:17, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? How do you have that love of God in you if you close out that brother? The next one in verse 34 says, there was not a needy person among them. Now, this was a powerful testimony to the community outside the church. Because you have to think about the fact that poverty was rampant in those days. But yet this body of believers didn't have a need. Can you imagine what that witness was outside of that church? The community could see that they were together and they could see that they were meeting each other's needs. Will that be us? That's what Scripture is talking about. Will that be us as a community? Next, landowners and homeowners would sell them and lay the proceeds at the apostles' feet, in verse 34. Now, to us, that sounds like a commune, and that's not very attractive to us. We're like, no, thank you, nope, I don't want to go there. But that's not what this is, okay? Now, think about this. Selling your home or land was far more sacrificial than giving part of your income. Okay? This was sacrificial giving, not commune living. Okay? This was continual giving. They were giving from their wealth, not their income. Okay? Acts does not record that this happens at any other time at any other church. So what you see here is an example of this pure and holy church. Okay? Next, they distributed to each as everyone had need, in verse 35. This was continuous. This was not all at once, okay? This is modern day benevolence, continually caring for those who are in need. The spiritual leaders were responsible before God as how they would use the resources given to the church. Now, this flies in the face of the prosperity gospel, where the richer that you are, the more that God has chosen to bless you individually. Number 9, explain the living example in the verses 36 through 37 about Barnabas. Barnabas gave out of pure love. He didn't give to call attention to himself, but for the simple blessedness of giving. Now, it's an example of sacrificial giving, but what you also have to know is going forward, Barnabas not only gave from his wealth, but he would also give of himself. And that would also be sacrificially. It was part of who he was. Okay? This is the fellowship of the church, the first Christian fellowship. But it is a model for us. It is a model for us moving forward. Fellowship, community, church. Will we pattern ourselves after the first church? Will we pattern ourselves after the gospel of Christ? Will we make the foundation God's word? Will we share God's word, and will we love others and our community and receive the blessings and give Him the glory? That's the challenge before you. That's the challenge of a fellowship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Father, that you in your word, in your truth, you give us the model. Father, we don't have to start a church on our own. We can see the example written in your word. So, Father, may this work bless you and glorify you. Father, may we stand strong in your word. And Father, may you meet the needs of those in our church and meet the needs in our community through us. And Father, may we give you the glory for that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me share this with you about Christian fellowship. We started Cornerstone a little over 13 years ago. The first few years, we gave about 4% of our budget away. As the years went by, we gave more and more money away. This year, we committed to giving away 50% of our budget. This is because we believe that when Jesus said to love your neighbors as yourself, he wasn't kidding. If we really want to love our neighbors as ourselves, then it makes sense that we should spend at least as much on them as we do on ourselves. Another manifestation of our desire to love others is our new building plan. Initially, we had a beautiful plan for a new sanctuary that it would cost many millions of dollars. Now, however, we are in the process of getting permits to build an outdoor amphitheater that will seat plenty of people and save us about $20 million. I'm sure there will be days where it will be uncomfortable outside, but there will also be joy in knowing that we're sitting in the cold so that someone else can have a blanket. This man is genuine, and you can see it in his church, okay? So remember that when we gather together as a community, when we gather together as a fellowship, when we gather together as a body in Christ. Heavenly Father, my blessing on all of these that you have brought. Father, may you bless them, may you protect them, and may you give them that boldness to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.